The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
If you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to go with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. We're continuing our study in the Lord's Prayer. One author says this about prayer, and I want you to keep it at the forefront of your mind this morning as we walk through this third line of the Lord's Prayer. Prayer, at its simplest form, is having the courage to ask God for help. Prayer, at its simplest form, is having the courage to ask God for help. In 2015, our elder team introduced sabbaticals for our full-time pastoral staff, 2015. And it was a proactive decision for our elder team just to think about the health and longevity of our pastoral team and their families. So every 5 years, our full-time pastoral staff will get an extended time away from their ministerial duties to unplug and to rest and to recenter and to refocus. And by God's grace, my wife and I are actually going to get to experience one of those this summer, actually our second one. We're pretty excited about it. And it's a time to really recenter on God's presence and the good gifts that He's given to us with less distraction. In 2018, I stepped into my first sabbatical, and honestly, I went into that sabbatical pretty exhausted. Exhausted spiritually, exhausted emotionally, exhausted physically. And it didn't take me long as we entered into that sabbatical to realize I needed the time away more than I realized. So as a measure of accountability, what the elders will do before someone goes on sabbatical is we'll get together with that individual and we'll just have a time of opportunity for that pastor to share specific ways the elder team can be praying directly over him and his family while they're away. Our elder team is very inquisitive to ask heart-level questions to kind of get underneath the surface of what's going on. And I remember before I stepped into my sabbatical, the elder team got me together in a meeting one evening and were asking me all kinds of questions about my heart and about how I was entering into sabbatical. And I remember this question that one of the elders posed to me: what is the most significant area of your walk with Jesus that you need His presence and power to show up while you're away? What's the most significant area of your walk with Jesus that you need His presence and power to show up while you're away? And I didn't have to sit long with that question. I knew what I needed to tell these guys. What I should have articulated to those guys in that moment was this: I need God to convince me that prayer matters. That's what I should have said. Honestly, I was in a season of where I was doubting the very necessity and purpose of prayer. And that's exactly where I needed God to show up for me. But I didn't tell them that. And to be honest with you, I don't really know why. I trust these guys. I am open with these guys. But I did not share with them that, spiritually speaking, my relationship with God in prayer at that moment, in that season, it was struggling. And maybe I didn't tell them because I just thought, well, this is just a spiritual drought and I'll get through it. Or maybe I didn't tell them because I essentially believe that God's going to do what God's going to do whether or not I pray or not, regardless of whether or not I pray. But here's the fact: I did not tell them. In fact, I didn't tell the Lord where I was at. I didn't tell the elders where I was at. I didn't tell my bride where I was at. I did not have the courage to ask. So the night before my sabbatical begins, I'm supposed to turn off my phone for the duration of my sabbatical. And I don't know if you've ever turned off your phone or attempted to turn off your phone, and as liberating as that sounds, it's very challenging to do. So a few moments before the night before I'm supposed to step in sabbatical, I'm getting ready to turn off my phone, and I receive a text message from a dear friend named Zach, who at the time lived in Cambodia. Cambodia is 11 hours ahead of us. And I want to read you what Zach texted me. He says, "Hey, brother, so excited for you guys and your sabbatical. I look forward to hearing all about it when you return. But before you enter into your sabbatical, I want to tell you about a dream I had about you a couple of nights ago. A couple nights ago would have been the night that I was meeting with the elder team and should have articulated to them where I was at. Here's the dream. You were in an ambulance being transported somewhere on life support, and I was in the ambulance with you and sensed something was wrong. And I knocked on the window to get the driver's attention, and as he rolled down the window, I realized it was a guy who had hijacked the ambulance, and he pulled out a gun. I was able to wrestle the gun from him, and I began shooting him numerous times in the chest, but he would not die. When I asked why, he showed me his bulletproof vest. He said that you were a threat to his plans and needed someone else to be in your position. So he took us back to my house, where I began thinking of how to get you free, and then I woke up. And as I was praying to the Lord in the middle of the night about this dream, here's what I believe the Lord told me about you as you enter in sabbatical. This is a crucial time in your relationship with the Lord and others, and even your ministry. You're choosing to stop and rest, in a sense, to Sabbath, and sabbatical are like spiritual life supports that we need throughout our lives. But the enemy is going to attack and try and stop God's plans and design because he's afraid and because you're a threat to his schemes as you rest in the arms of God. Too often when Satan attacks, we try to use weapons of the world, violence against others we believe Satan is using, or we try so hard to control our circumstances to no avail. In other words, human effort. So when I woke up after the dream and spent some time praying, I went into the bathroom and I looked on the floor and I saw outlined in white the word prayer. I believe what God wanted me to remind you of is that prayer is our weapon to use against the enemy's schemes. It is powerful and effective because we rely on the Lord's power and not our own. So I want you to know, I will be praying that you are protected spiritually as you enter this season and receive all that God wants to give you, and that he gives you strength to flee and resist the temptations of the enemy, and that you learn over these next several weeks that prayer is indeed your weapon. I still get goosebumps when I think about the fact that God woke my friend up in the middle of the night, prompted Zach to intercede on my behalf, and as he did, the Lord, through Zach, brought a glimpse of heaven down to earth for me. I didn't even have the courage to ask God for that. But God, who is a loving Father, knows what I need even when I don't ask. And God showed up. He showed up through my friend. My friend was invited to participate with the Lord in accomplishing the purposes of God. Here's the reason why I'm sharing this story with you this morning. That was a profound moment for me. And I wish I could tell you that 5 years later, as I stand here, I wish I could tell you that I still don't wrestle, that no longer do I wrestle with prayer. No longer do I wrestle with struggling to believe that prayer is meaningful and powerful. No, I'm not there. There's still moments and seasons where I doubt and wonder, God, are you listening? God, do you have the ability to show up? Do you have the ability to show up and work and move in the places of my life where I really think you need to show up and work and move? And to be honest with you, there's no more, there's not a more present struggle for me to believe that my prayers, or wonder if my prayers matter, than when it comes to the day-to-day stuff of life. The ordinary, the mundane, the stuff of marriage, the stuff of parenting, the stuff of routine, the stuff of, that we just kind of chalk up to life. The give us our daily bread type prayers. And the thing is I don't believe I'm alone here. I think there's a consensus perhaps in the room that maybe, just maybe, there's a struggle of asking God. And it's not that we don't ask God for things, because my guess is for most of us that do pray, we are pretty good at asking God for stuff. I think the wrestle is, what are the guidelines to the kind of help that we can and should ask God for? I think that's the wrestle. What's worth praying about, and what's just day-to-day life stuff? Or maybe I could put it this way, as a dad of a 16-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 6-year-old. God, I'm still struggling to get their ages right. I think all of that's right. Does God really care about Rainbow, the teddy bear that we just can't seem to find at bedtime? Because Lord knows we need to find that teddy bear before bedtime. Does God actually care about that? Does God care about our ability to hit a fast pitch softball? Does God care about our ability to consistently hit the 10-foot putt? Like, all of those things are real for my world right now. And I'm teaching 3 young ones about God is real. God cares about you. Talk to him about the stuff that you care about and that the stuff you're walking through. So the question really boils down to this. Does God care about what you care about? There's something powerful here in the Lord's Prayer that I want us to see this morning. That right here in the middle of a prayer about the awareness of God's beautiful and majestic name, about heaven coming down to earth, that he invites us to pray about something as common and ordinary as today's lunch, as today's request, as today's concerns. But we have to ask. Look at Matthew 6 with me. I'm going to read the prayer, and we're going to focus in just for a few moments on that third line. Jesus then says, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Give us this day our daily bread. I want to take just a few moments, and I think there's a lot of significant things here that we could draw out about these 7 words, but I think at minimum there's 2 things that Jesus is inviting us into with this prayer that I want us to see. First of all, this prayer is an invitation to learn to pray about everything. This prayer is an invitation to learn to pray about everything. In Luke's record of this prayer, it's shorter. There's only 5 petitions, and daily bread is the centerpiece of the prayer. Daily bread is the hinge on which the entire prayer turns. And it's right here in the middle of this prayer where we move from the cosmic, the majestic, the transcendent, to where our feet touch the ground, and Jesus insists that we pray, give us prayers. That we pray supplication prayers, that we pray request prayers, need prayers. And when do we pray these prayers? today. This day, every day. There's something compelling about this invitation that brings prayer from this lofty place where God is transcendent and doing his thing out there in some imaginative place down to what I'm going to eat today and where I'm going to go today and who I'm going to meet today and what I'm going to do throughout my day and how I'm going to feel about all of it along the way. In other words, prayer is about right now, with you, with me, in this place, in this moment, because God is with us right now, with us, in this place, in this moment. Week one, I drew your attention to Philippians chapter 4. And if you have a Bible in front of you, I want to encourage you to go back there. We'll have the specific text on the screen. But Paul actually takes the words of Jesus from this prayer very seriously. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So here's the thing. What should you pray about? Everything. Paul couches it this way. He says, you don't have to be anxious about anything because you can pray about everything. Or maybe another way to put it is this way. I can learn how to be anxious about no thing as I'm learning how to pray about everything. So it's taking all of the anxieties, and the word anxious here in Philippians 4, it means to be drawn in many different directions. It's the word of where we get distracted. And my guess is it's a picture of our daily wrestle, right? Pulled in 1,001 directions. And for Paul, the way that you and I release our anxiety, the way that we release our worry, the way that we release the cares of our day is by learning how to pray about them. It's by taking every care, every anxiety, every distraction, every pulling, and praying about them. Notice the line towards the end of verse 6, "Let your requests be made known to God." He doesn't say, "Make your requests known." This is in the passive voice. And the interesting thing about that is this: these requests are just merely bubbling up all over the place. Like, you don't even have to give thought to them. They're just rising all over the place. They're consistently rising to the surface. And Paul's point is, let them out. Hand them over. So the stuff, the internal dialogue and the circumstantial and all of the things external to internal that are just naturally rising, what are you going to do with them? You're going to suppress them? You're going to ignore them? Are you going to drown them in distraction? No, let them rise. Don't chalk up the cares of life and the anxieties of life and the day-to-day stuff and the things that you define as need as this is just life and I'll grind my way through. No, let them rise to the surface and from your heart and mind to your lips, communicate with your Father about all of it. That's the implication. Do not be anxious about anything. Let all of your requests be made known to God. How do I do that? In everything by prayer and supplication. The word supplication, it means specific request. It's not like the general, like, God, would you just take care of the bills? It's like, no, God, like, these are the specific things that I got going on in my world right now. It's naming them. It's the specific things. It's bringing them to him, speaking them to him. And I think what Paul is implying for us is, listen, you don't have to sanitize your prayers. Don't qualify your prayers to God. Bring your specific requests to me, he says. One of the ways I am currently teaching my kids specifically about prayer is there's hardly ever a day goes by that they do not hear these words from me: God is real. So we sit down at a dinner table, or we sit down at the couch, or I'm by their bedside and putting them to bed, and we're reading a story, or we're praying. They hear from me on a daily basis: God is real. God listens to you. God desires to speak to you. So give him the real you. And oftentimes with my girls, we'll be on the couch and we'll be, I'll ask them to pray about something, and I'll tell them this: hey, here's what I want you to know. God is real. You're not praying to some imaginary being, some theory out there. He's real. And what I want you to picture in your mind is that he is sitting right here with you. I want you to picture God is sitting beside you, and he is a good father. He's so much better than your dad. Your dad loves you, but he's infinitely greater than I am. And he wants to hear from you. Give him what's really going on inside of you. And here's another key thing that I tell them. Use words that only you can understand. Just talk to him. What's rising to the surface? You don't have to pray like your daddy. You don't have to pray like your mom. I want you to talk to your Father who's with you, who's listening to you, who wants to speak good things over you. Give him your heart. Give him the real you. Talk to him about what, Dad? Everything. Everything. So by prayer and supplication, and then there's this weird word he throws in there: with thanksgiving. With gratitude? So let me get this straight. All of the stuff of life, all of the stuff going on in here, all of the stuff rising to the surface, I'm just supposed to let it out? Like all of it? Yes. And I'm supposed to name them specifically? That's the implication of supplication. He wants me to name them specifically? Yes. But why is naming and asking attached to gratitude? Here's why. Because we get to take every need and every anxiety and every care to a loving Father who not only cares for us, but who also has the power to do something about it. With thanksgiving. I love 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5 says, cast all of your anxieties, all of your needs onto him. Why should we do that? Because he cares for you. Some of you need to hear this morning. God will not shame you for telling him what you think you need. He's not going to shame you. He's not going to shame you for speaking what you think and feel. No, he's a good father who wants to hear your heart. He's loving enough to listen. He's wise enough to know what's underneath the very thing you're asking for. And he's powerful enough to sustain you and shape you as he leads you where he desires. Here's what I hope you see from this. Does God care about what we care about? You bet he does. Because he cares about you and he cares about me. But we need to understand something. When we pray, we are not praying to an imaginary genie who may or may not give us what we're asking for. That's not who we're praying to. We are not spoiled, whiny children praying to a disgruntled father. No, we are praying to a loving Father who knows what we need more than we know what we need. Are you guys with me this morning? We are praying to a loving Father who knows exactly what we need, Maybe I could put it this way. When you pray daily, give us prayers. Your Heavenly Father knows what you're really asking for. He knows the thing underneath the thing that you're asking. Which is why the second point is critical. This prayer is not just an invitation for us to learn to pray about everything. This prayer is an invitation to let God shape what we ask for as we pray. This prayer of our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread is an invitation to let God shape what we ask for as we pray. I love what Jesus is doing here. It's really liberating when we see it in the context of this prayer. He's teaching his disciples to pray by placing their needs and anxieties about their needs within the context of God's character, God's wisdom, God's will, God's power. Jesus is inviting you and me to ask, by all means, ask. But he's inviting us to learn to ask in line with God's eternal perspective. He's inviting us to learn the rhythm of daily coming to God as Father and communing with him until we learn to adore his name. He's inviting us to daily learn the rhythm of coming to God and commune with him until we're compelled long enough to ask for what is true in heaven to become true on earth. He's inviting us to learn the rhythm of daily coming to the Father and communing with him until we're ready to submit to his will over and above our will. And as we learn the rhythm of praying this way, what we discover is that what we ask for and what we think we need actually begins to take shape. Now, I want you to hear me. He's not telling us to qualify what we ask for until we are ready to ask for things that are in line with his character, kingdom, and will. That's not what he's saying. He's inviting us to let everything we ask for rise to the surface, communicate with him, but to allow all of those things to be shaped along the way as we direct our petitions towards his kingdom, towards his name, and towards his will. That's the invitation of Jesus in this prayer. So I wonder if I could just maybe pose a question of introspection for you and me this morning. If you'll be honest with yourself, what percentage of your prayers over the last 7 days, your petition prayers, your asking of God prayers, what percentage of those prayers over the last 7 days were actually couched in his name, his kingdom, his will? Just think about that. And here's why I think that question's important. Because if our prayers are dominated only by our asking, if our prayers are centered solely upon our petitions, then we will eventually become disappointed and angry with God because God is not responding or working according to our will, our kingdom, and our desires. The significance and the order of the prayer is critical for us. Jesus is inviting us to come to God about everything, but in our asking of him, he is inviting us to replace control with trust. And he's inviting us to replace anxiety with surrender. Do you see it in the prayer, Matthew 6? Father, give us this day our daily bread. The inerrant assumption is this: Father, if you don't give it, we don't have it. Do you see that? That's the assumption. Father, it's about your name and your renown and your beauty and your holiness. It's about your kingdom purposes, that what is true in heaven, would it become more palpably true right now on earth where our feet are planted? And would your will and your ways become known? Would it become realized? And would you give us everything that we need? You know what we need more than we know what we need. Would you give us this day our daily need? You see, as we pray our give us prayers daily by the Spirit, our insistence on living under the illusion that we can actually feed ourselves and manage our lives and make provisions for what we think we need, it's not only exposed, but the facade of that control that gives way to all types of anxiety is replaced with trust and surrender. You see, at the heart of it, it's learning to come to God for everything, but everything is surrendered to Him. That's the significance of this prayer. Father, I trust You. You are good. You are beautiful. Your name is beautiful. I adore You. Would You help me to trust You? Would You help me to adore You? Do you see? Do you see it goes both ways? Father, I trust Your kingdom purposes. I know what is true in heaven is what my heart ultimately longs for. And all the ways that I don't ask You for what is true in heaven to become true on earth, would You give me eyes to see and a heart that longs for Your kingdom purposes to become realized in my life, in our life, in our spheres of influence? Father, I trust Your will. And I know it is always good and perfect, even when it doesn't appear that it's good and perfect, even when I can't see it. Would You help me to keep believing that, especially on the days when all I want is what I want? We're going into progression here. Now, Father, I'm going to let everything that is within me rise to the surface. I'm going to let it out. I'm going to give it to You. And here's what I'm going to tell You on this day, Father. I'm going to tell You what I think I need. In this situation, in this circumstance, I'm going to tell You what I think I need. And I'm going to give You what I think I really desire. But here's my surrender. Do with my request as You wish. Take my perceived needs and give me not what I think I need, give me what I really need. Hear the desires of my heart. You are a good Father who desires to give good gifts to His children, but will You ultimately shape every one of my desires to come in line with Your will and Your ways? That's the invitation of this prayer. And for every moment, You and I struggle to pray in line with this. For every time I ask You, Father, for bread that will not ultimately satisfy the deepest longings of my heart, Father, will You graciously and purposefully keep shaping my heart to ask for things that reflect Your heart? Will You keep shaping me to ask for things that would usher in more of Your kingdom purposes right here on earth? Would You keep shaping me to ask for things that come in line with Your good and perfect will? You see, the shaping of what we ask for is shaped by asking. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up, and we're going to take just a few moments just to sit with the Lord together. So to do that, I want to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes to try to remove some sense of distraction. And I want to tell you how I want you to sit with the Lord. A few ways. I want you to let your request rise to Him this morning. You don't make them rise. So in other words, what's on your mind and heart right now? You know, it's there. Let them rise. The thing that you've been ignoring, the thing that you've been trying to distract yourself from, the thing that you have been suppressing, let them rise. Here's step two. Now give them to Jesus. Give them to Him. Deliver them over into His capable hands. And one of the ways you can do that is to name them. Name the things that are rising to the surface of your mind and heart this morning. And then go, Jesus, I'm going to give them to You. I'm going to cast them, 1 Peter 5. I'm going to take them off of my shoulders. I'm going to take them off of my brain space. I'm going to take them off of carrying the weight of, and I'm going to put them on to You. And as you are identifying those things, listen, I get it. You're distracted by a million and one things. And in this moment, things are rising. Things are rising. Things are rising. You brought those things into this room today. Give them over to Jesus, and as you pray them, ask Jesus to give you a vision this morning of His good and wise and perfect ways. Ask Him to give you a vision of His kingdom that is perfect in every way. It will one day become fully realized. Ask Him for it to become more realized in the things that you're praying for. It's about replacing control with trust. It's about releasing anxiety to surrender. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Do we have trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Are we discouraged? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do you have friends that despise, perhaps they've forsaken thee? Take that to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Blessed Savior, Thou hast promised, Thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to Thee in earnest prayer. And soon in glory bright, unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Praise and endless worship will be our sweet portion there.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.